to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. Today we are going to connect to dreaming and imagination. And I wanted to share with anyone that listened to last night's segment about giving that I had a beautiful inspiration. I'm not going to share what it was, but to give. And I've been waiting to give something away, and it happened so serendipitous today, and it makes my heart really warm. So if those of you out there that were inspired to give or want to give and practice generosity, allow yourself to open up to serendipity. And that kind of leads us into today's segment about imagination and dreaming. And I'm going to play along a little bit with serendipity. I love to work, and I do mean work this way in my life. I love to work with serendipity and allow myself to be led by the rhythms of the nature around me and the ecosystems and flow where I'm needed. And it's such a beautiful, rich way to live a life. However, it does take trust and allowing yourself to be in that mode versus always being connected to something linear. Now, there is a balancing that happens, because we'll talk about dreaming and imagination and how important it is, but it's also important to bring it down and then add that yang energy, that movement, and take action. So we don't want to stay just in one place and then not actualize things, because then we would never get anything done. There are places on this planet, and I'm not going to call them out because they may not like the analogy, that move really rapidly, and there's other places that move really slow. However, I do feel that's like yin and yang and expression, and it's supposed to be that way. Yet we're still meant to have that creative imagination space, that dreaming space, but then also bring it into reality. Tonight, we are going to connect to a little Kerouac, some Native American wisdom, and some intuition by Osho. I'm a big fan of Osho because his kind of melding of spiritual rant and obstinate teenagehood makes me chuckle, and there's a lot of little pearls of wisdom, I feel, in some of his texts. However, he never wrote a book. All of his books are translations of his talks. So, and I'm hoping to, in the near future, to interview someone that really followed his work closely, because he has a huge collection, or they, Auntie and Uncle, have this huge collection of Osho that bigger than I've ever seen in my life. So I'm so curious to have the conversation with them. They've said some really prolific things about Osho that have been misunderstood, so it'll be fun to dive in there. So before I go too much further into Osho, I want to allow us just to ground into the space and just relax in. We are going to listen to the album Leaf, Within Dreams. We've listened to this before, and I want you to actually activate your imagination right now. Allow it to wander wherever you're inspired. Allow the dreams and the ideas and just the imagination to come up. And take that idea you might have had, and even if your mind is a little all over the place, that's okay. Allow the music to be your mantra. Allow the imagination just to run free. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some simple practices on A, how to activate this imagination, 2, how to pull it into conceptual form, and then how to pull it into actualization. And then from there, we're going to look at some wisdom from Osho, some fun analogies and banters that he presents, and was really poignant for some conversations I had today. And then we're going to allow serendipity to lead us to some passages from Kerouac and Native American wisdom. So without further ado, let's just take a deep, deep breath, breathing in and out, and just connect to your heart center at first. Allow that to be the activation, just your still point, your neutral within you, leaving behind anything that just occurred, allowing yourself to settle into a little nourishment in this moment, a little fun. And then as that breath is feeling rhythmic and connected to your rhythm, then slowly allow the breath from the heart to rise up to the mind's eye, and allow your mind to wander freely. Allow your mind to explore corners that you've never imagined. Allow your mind to express light or darkness, whatever comes up, without any inhibitions, without any shame, or impositions from self or any belief systems that you subscribe to. When we come back, just we'll effortlessly dive into a dialogue, gently following the breath, following your creativity and your imagination.
Thank you.
taking a deep breath in and out, and just bringing your awareness back to our conversation and your physical body, allowing your imaginative thoughts just to fly away like beautiful butterflies or a magical bird off into the sky. And if we can think about for a moment the purpose of imagination, the purpose of dreaming. And the purpose of this can be a creative process, can take you out of a place that you don't belong. It can allow you to explore areas that maybe you're afraid to address and help you liberate them and move past them. And hopefully in the next week or two, we're going to have a beautiful conversation with a musician that allows himself to go into those dark places and lead people into them. And we'll talk about the importance of that in that segment. And as far as imagination goes, it's this great place to be. However, you don't want to get lost in it. You don't want to get lost in an action. And if you're creating anything, even if you're creating something that's linear, it's good to allow yourself to go through this creative, free-form process, to approach it from all different directions, to see where you get. And there's a difference, and I always love pointing this out. When I was in architecture and design school, we would go through a conceptual process, and there usually were two students. One, we would call them the person that does copycat design, person that adopts immediately a philosophy or sees something in a magazine or somewhere and actually replicates it or takes it as their own. And then you have the person that can conceptually go into an imaginative space and can maybe take that inspiration but completely transform it into something that's coming from their soul. And those are two very distinct types of processes. Now, nowadays they call it co-oping. People will co-op stuff from one another, and they're taking it from the original form and using it for themselves. A beautiful, probably, remembrance is that Got Milk campaign. Everyone was, you know, co-oping that brand success for their own. You know, they liked it so much they had to. So it's not a judgment, but if you're really committed to design and creation, I really encourage you to move from co-oping and go to that creative space. It may take some time. And think about it, if you are grabbing things from other places, that you could actually spend the same amount of creative conceptual design as the person that created that in the first place. You don't know how long that took or what it took to get there. Things don't always birth overnight. And if they're going to have legs and depth, I guarantee they're not going to. Think about seeds and how long it takes some of them to germinate. So in our fast-paced, instant, on-demand culture, let's think about shifting things around. And if you traveled around where people make amazing paintings or architecture, you realize how long it takes to refine those skills, to get to that level of refinement. So it's your choice, and whatever your journey is, it is. Now, what are we going to do with this? We have imagination and dreaming, and how can we actually take our imagination and our creativity and transform it from this ethereal space, this fun place, this mystical place to play in, and bring us back to Earth and start to pull it into a conceptual form. So think about it. You can start imagining about everything. So this doesn't mean necessarily everything task-oriented, but the purpose of this dreaming and imagination is to open up these receptors to start seeing and hearing and feeling what you're saying to self. Basically, it's you talking to you, and see what happens, okay? You might all of a sudden think you, and we'll talk about this in Osho, see something, but it's self talking to self, really. It's just this projection of self. That's what intuition is. People say I'm intuitive, but it's a projection either from the person you're standing in front of, or it's your projection of how you're perceiving to see something for someone. So as we go through the dreaming and imagination process, then you could say, wow, I really was having a great time thinking about a three-winged unicorn flying through a beautiful galactic belt of stars that turned into a rainbow of water molecules that then took them through a portal of crystals into a universe that's never been seen. So you could take that creative descriptive and say, wow, what does that mean and where do I want to go with that? And then you might say, I want to go nowhere with it, but say, you know, I want to explore and see how far my imagination can come down into something different. So then you might take that and take those visions, take those words and put them on paper, mold them out of clay, carve them out of wood, play with some materials in nature, and allow yourself to imagine a little bit more, but then start imagining with actual forms in front of you. And then from there, something might be revealed, and you might say, wow, you know what? I'm just imagining this amazing kid's story, and I'm going to make it into a book. And so from there, then you start right there. You say, okay, I need some a little bit more conceptual development. I need a lot more imagination, and I'm going to start putting this stuff to paper. And just allow myself to, again, still freeform, not write it out in 10 minutes. Allow yourself to keep approaching it, knowing that each design can keep refining. It can keep getting better, or it can keep being different. And sometimes you have to know when to say when, too. So going through this process, and then say you go through that whole dreaming, imagination, conceptual exploration, and then you just say, I don't want to do anything with this, I'm done. Or you say it's time to actualize it. And at that point, that's when you start bringing in that linear mind and take action, mindful action, and you move forward with it. So this little arc I'm showing you is the benefit of having that dreaming imagination. It's going to be so much more rich and really have legs. And then you start taking the action. And if you have a little bit of blocks on one side or another of this activity, and you're wanting some help with your dreaming imagination, please, I love this work. Feel free to reach out to me, send me an email, connect to me. This is a random plug for the work I do, but I get so excited about creative development and conceptual development and bringing them into actualization. So if you'd really do want to hone your skills and your gifts and whatever you're imagining and dreaming of, please reach out. So from there, what I'd like you to do right now is, as I've given you this idea to kind of connect with, I would love for you right now to take that idea of imagination, something that you are wanting to work on, something that feels really important, and let yourself run wild with it. Just be like that beautiful horse running through the forest or on the beach and see what you discover. We are going to just breathe in and out, and as you do that, we're going to listen to a little random rap, a song called The Perceiver. And as you do, allow your mind just to kind of flow and see what happens and what occurs. When we come back, we talk a little bit more about imagination with Osho, and then do our little serendipitous exploration through Kerouac and Native American wisdom. Thank you. gently taking a deep breath and bringing it back to here, allowing your explorations and your perceptions to bring it home. So we are connecting to intuition, knowing beyond logic, insights, a new way of living by Osho. So in this book, if you're inspired to read it, I'm just going to read a couple excerpts out of it, and then we'll talk a little bit about how to move beyond the dream, as he shares, and I can share from my own personal experiences, that here he states, creating one's own reality is called imagination. That is the faculty of dreaming. In night, you create so many things in your dreams, and the most amazing thing is that your world life, you have been dreaming every night, and you know every morning that it was a dream, not real. But when the night comes again and you fall asleep, your imagination starts spreading its wings. No doubt arises in you. Without any doubt, you accept its reality. This faculty of imagination can function in other ways also. It creates your dream, which you know is not real. But when they come and you are surrounded by them, they appear absolutely real, more real than the real world, because in the real world, once in a while, you can suspect, you can doubt. For example, this is the moment you are capable of doubting whether what you are seeing here or hearing here is real, or if you have fallen asleep and you are seeing a dream. It can be a dream, and you will know only when you wake up. And then he goes on to say that this is the only distinction in reality. You can doubt. It could be a dream. But in a dream, you cannot wonder if it is a dream. That's the only distinction between dream and reality. Reality allows for reason. Imagination does not allow for reason. So this is a beautiful lead-in to the dreaming. And I just want you to sit with that doubt. And doubt is actually something that really sabotages that serendipity that we're going to go into momentarily. What he goes on to say is the same faculty can create daydreams. You are sitting silently, not doing anything, and a dream starts floating in your eyes, and you are awake. But you start thinking about being the president of a country because you're awake, and undercurrent knows that you're having these silly ideas, but still, they are so sweet that one goes on dreaming that one has become a world conqueror or the richest man in the world. He's awake, but creating a dream. If this becomes too much, you lose your sanity. You can go into any madhouse or psychiatric hospital, and you will be surprised how many people are living in their imaginations, talking to people who are not there, not only talking, but even answering from their side. And there is no doubt, no skepticism. Imagination can create a kind of insanity, and if it starts believing in its own daydream, it can create hallucinations. As far as he is concerned, Osho, I'm still quoting him, your so-called saints, great religious leaders who have seen God, who have met God, who have talked with God, are in the category, this category, their God is just their imagination. So that might be a little out there for some of the listeners, but if you start to think about this, and then what he shares is that if you want to move beyond this, if you want to see hallucinations, that's why there's retreats. You start stripping down. So if you go into retreat and you go into solitude and you go on a fast, you start to strip things down and you start to perceive things in different ways where you lose that rational part of you. And then you come back and you can take that information, as I mentioned earlier, and then distill it down conceptually. It could be an inspiration. It could be an emotional breakthrough that allows you to start moving forward in 3D reality. However, if you get lost in it, it will make you mad. If you don't keep it in balance, you always want to go to that place, and then you're never getting anything to move forward except to stay in this etheric world. And this is why I do this programming. It's lined so we feed these different energy centers, but we have to remember that we have all these energy centers to feed. And if we don't feed them, we'll feel a little depleted. So dreaming and imagination is so valuable. However, it's really important to come out. What he goes on to say is that once we get past this illusory, mad place where we're seeing these hallucinations, that he'll talk about quote-unquote Buddha. Buddha never saw any God. He experienced only tremendous silence. He experienced the great joy, which remained for 42 years after his enlightenment. His enlightenment is not fiction, because fictions cannot last that long. Dreams cannot transform a man's life. After his enlightenment, he was another man. His joy remained with him, just like breathing. He does not talk about gods. He does not talk about heaven and hell. He does not talk about angels. He has not seen all these things. These things have to be created first. You have to arrange yourself in a certain situation wherever, whatever you want to see, you can see. So, and I do want to qualify the term Buddha. Buddha is not external. It's internal. For those of you that haven't ever spent any time studying any Buddhist traditions. So what we're talking about here is allowing yourself to go into dreaming and imagination, but also, one, understanding the dangers of it and how to have discernment. So it's not by accident that your intuition center and your discernment center are in the same location and connected to the same location, and you can trick yourself. So really be careful at what you might perceive, and be really careful at who's giving you information. This can be dangerous, because we'll do another segment on that as to why. So before we close out, what I'd like to do is, if inspired, take some time to dream and imagine and start allowing yourself to take that dreaming and imagination into a more clay-like form, mold it, look at it different ways, and then create something with it. And be really simple. It could be like making a new batch of cookies and shifting around a recipe, or it could be working on your car, or it could be planning out something for your company. Whatever it may be, just take something small, play around with implementing imagination and creation, but know when to step away from it and how to bring in the other faculties. We have a left and right hemisphere. We're not supposed to be lopsided. We're actually supposed to activate both sides, and they're equally important. Cannot stress enough how important the left side of the brain is, just as much as the right. They both are equally important. So, Jack Kerouac, I just turned to this page, and this is what we're going to read. 22 and 23 of Kerouac poems, all sizes. And the story of man makes me sick, inside and out. I don't know why. Something so conditional, and all talk, should hurt me so. I'm hurt. I'm scared. I want to live. I want to die. I don't know where to turn, in the void, and when to cut out. For no church told me, no guru holds me, no advice, just Stone of New York and of the cafeteria. We hear the saxophone. Oh, dead Ruby died of shot in 32. Sounds like old times. And the bombed, empty, decapitated, murder by the clock. And I saw shadows dancing into doom, in love holding tight the lovely asses of little girls. In love with sex, showing themselves in white undergarments at elevated windows, hoping for the worst. I can't take it anymore. If I can't hold my little behind to me in my room, then it's goodbye. Sangasara for me. Besides, girls aren't good as they look, and samadhi, it's better than you think. When it starts in, hitting your head, in with buzz of glitter gold, heaven's angels wailing, saying, we've been waiting for you since morning, Jack. Why were you so long dallying in the city room? This transcendental brilliance is the better part of nothingness, I sing. Okay, quiet, mad, stop. May 29th, 1955 in New York. Well, that was quite brilliant. That's serendipitous, and that could not, I did not plan that. That could not have fit better into pairing with Osho's wisdom. So our last little exit out before we head is, I'm going to open the book to page 67, and this is from Native American Wisdom, and this is Luceno tribe. The Milky Way lies stretched out in its back, making a humming sound. From the door of my house, I recognize in the distance not the stick used to beat coyote and the kashlashpish, the ringing stones. I look up. Look, Antares is rising. Altar is rising. The Milky Way, Venus, is rising. And this is from the religion of Luceno Indians, Constance G. Dubois. So, again, a little serendipity from the stars and the Milky Way. So have some fun with imagination and dreaming, and then bring it back to Earth and see what happens. And again, as mentioned at the beginning of the episode, if you are inspired or want to refine some of your imagination, dreaming, and bringing it to earth skills, please feel free to reach out to me. Send me an email at suzannetoro@gmail.com or call me. My phone number is on my website. And we're going to exit out with a little bit more of the album Leaf called The Summer Fog, being as where I'm at on this full moon. It feels like an August summer day in the middle of January. Imagine that. Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and